Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, with the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, if you need a playbook, Noble Gold says allocate gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects. And right now, get a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin when you open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments today. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Happy Thought Crimes Saturday. Taylor Swift, person of the year. Is it an op? I'm sick of seeing Travis Kelce. This guy in every commercial in the history of football. It's unbelievable. We talk about that and so much more. And also, Florida State snubbed from the college football playoff. Reminder, Thought Crimes is a little spicier, a little more irreverent. So for the homeschooling audience out there, you guys have been warned. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Download the Rumble app, rumble.com. That is rumble.com. Download the Rumble app. Attend America Fest. That's amfest.com, amfest.com. Use promo code Charlie to get your tickets, amfest.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Go to charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. That's charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Hello, everybody. Happy Thought Crime Thursday. Jack Posobiec is with us. We both decided to wear our pimp shirts, the Zelensky shirts. See that? Boom.
These are the shirts that when you want millions, even billions of dollars, Jack, from the U.S. government, this is the shirt to wear. This is right here.
Blake is back from Auschwitz. Blake, welcome.
Yeah, back from Auschwitz. I got stuck in Auschwitz. That I'm told that's a common problem there, but my tour group accidentally left me behind, and so I was abandoned at Birkenau. And then I also saw Napoleon in a movie theater built by Joseph Stalin. It was fitting. It was a very Stalinistic film in the sense that it went on forever. And I really, really wanted to leave, but couldn't.
Tyler?
Happy to be here, Charlie. We're alive and kicking.
We are here. All right. So, what's the first story?
First story, person of the year, Taylor Swift. They had a lot of options they could have picked, but time went with the Swifties. They are the most important.
Thank God. Wow. She pulled it off, boys.
She pulled it off.
Gosh. Just love her so, so much. I mean, just think of all her accomplishments, you know, her, you know, and then there was the time that she, you know, with the children that she doesn't have. And what has she accomplished? Actually, guys, can anyone name
she is the most famous celebrity in the world. That appears to be what the justification for it was. It was just.
Well, who determines that?
Yeah, well, so here's the opening line from the Time Person of the Year article. If you guys want to bring it up on screen, if you can, we can show it here. But Taylor Swift is telling me a story. And when Taylor Swift tells you a story, you listen because you know it's going to be good. Not only because she's had an extraordinary life, but because she's an extraordinary storyteller. So,
okay. All right. So name some of her best stories. Can anyone name some of her best stories?
There's that song, Romeo and Juliet. I don't remember. Love Story, I guess, is the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And she's in love with a guy, but their parents don't like the guy.
Well, isn't her whole genre about
Shakespeare,
how she's childless
That's not her.
Isn't that her whole thing, which is rallying up young women to sing about their misery?
She sings about happy stuff too.
I think it's fascinating how she goes from that and still gives off virgin vibes the whole time. Like, she pulls from every category.
It's not the vibe I get.
Yeah, but that's how parents treat her.
Parents think that she's like this.
Like a virgin.
I totally agree with Tyler. I think Tyler's
like the Virgin Mary.
100%. Tyler's totally right. That if you talk to your normie suburban housewife, they think she's like Mother Mary. And I want my daughter to be like her.
Totally.
And she has a body count that needs an exponent.
Well, and here's the other part that you layer on top of it. She's not even that attractive. So like the entire paradox of this whole thing that she's made parents believe that she's like a virgin. She has, you know, this well-accomplished career of not ever doing anything like that, like you should do in order to be a successful human being on planet Earth, while at the same time being really subpar average. Like if you didn't know who Taylor Swift was, you saw her in a shopping mall, she would be a 4, maybe a 5, like on like her best day. Like as a normal person.
She's not a 4. No, I'm not.
She's not a four on her best day.
Come on, dude. She's that's had not like
tens of millions of dollars put into her jack. Like it's not. Have you seen those memes? You're not. Ugly,
she's not
you're
a
just
four.
Poor.
She's
she
not
has
a
spent
four.
All that money. If she was normal Taylor Swift,
I'm not saying she's a 10. I'm not saying she's a 10.
No,
I'm not saying she's a 9.
Before the millions of dollars, she was a 5.
Yes,
a 4.
She's like,
Have you looked at seven?
If you made a bell curve
of the women in America in which an average person is 5, you would put Taylor Swift to the left of that. Have you been to an amusement park in the last decade? Have you been to a movie theater? Have you been to a mall?
Did you see her mouth?
Have you been to an airport?
She got money?
Have you been?
In
all seriousness, can I say something about? Is she just trying really hard?
Have you seen
to make
the Kardashians
look like
before money?
Here's the real story.
Same thing.
Here's the real story, though. The reason she can give off that vibe is she doesn't have a septum piercing. I don't think she has. Does she have any tattoos? If they are, I don't know them off the top of my head.
Not that we know of.
So no like prominent ones, and like that goes a long way because now she doesn't have a nose piercing. Like she doesn't do all these things that an extremely large share of women do, and I don't know why they do it because it's very off-putting, but it's very common now. And so,
well,
you know,
you come off very. She does have one.
I think that's the Charlie's
one
point.
Very large.
That's
number
why
of things
parents
that,
think
that
she's the Virgin
do.
Mary because she's like the only.
She looks wholesome.
She looks wholesome. She really does. And so, Jack, sorry, you're remote, so sometimes we talk over you. Jack, the floor is yours.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say that, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, the Travis Kelce is just really the next addition to the Taylor Swift body count gallery. The museum will be opened at the end of her career. You know, when you really think about it, Charlie, I actually agree with you in terms of that saying that whatever the machine makers, the factory mavens there in the entertainment industrial complex who have been working on the career of Taylor Swift, it's like first it was Britney Spears and then that got screwed up. So they had to shelve that and move to the next one. And then Hilary Duff, as they tried, then she kind of like faded into the shadows. Then there was Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, I think everyone understands, was a completely failed experiment. But with Taylor Swift, they finally got it right. She didn't go off the deep end. They were like, okay, don't put her in the Disney machine. Don't put her in the Disney box. Something goes very, very wrong with girls when you put them in the Disney box as young girls. We later found out with many, Ashley Simpson, by the way, is a huge example of that. Ariana Grande has some names that she should probably name Dan Schneider, his feet fetish, and many others. But with Taylor Swift, right, so she was able to kind of avoid all of those normal pitfalls that seem to encumber many, you know, young, a starlet, I guess the name would be, young starlets as they're on their way up. I mean, I think she tried acting once or twice, but didn't really take off. And we have that, I don't know if we have that clip, but there is that clip, speaking of her acting, of when she, you guys remember this thing when she went off on Marsha Blackburn, I guess, in this documentary, quasi-documentary, talking about how, oh, Marsha Blackburn doesn't have Tennessee Christian values, which, you know, by the way, Taylor Swift, you're from Reading, Pennsylvania. You're from like 30 minutes away from me in the Northeast.
Yeah,
you're not from Tennessee.
This, like, Tennessee.
You're not
person.
From the South.
I know.
Like you're not. You're not from that. She's actually from Wyomissing. She's just next to Reading. Do we have that? Before we get into the cut, I think we should explain why it is that, you know, that why this matters, and for a number of reasons. But my theory is that they are going to be turning Taylor Swift into a ballot harvesting operation and turnout mechanism for the Democrats in 2024. Whoever their nominee is going to be, looks like it's going to be Biden at this point. But yeah, just like Oprah was in the past, like they tried to do with Vote or Die and Madonna even before that, right? This is going to be a whole new level of operation because the Swifties represent just a new type of fandom that we've never seen before. And with the power of social media, they are going to be turned on as like an abortion army to come forward in the 2024 election. I guarantee it.
Okay. So I have a couple. So let's just kind of show 72. This is a very, I don't understand this. Here's Taylor Swift, who, you know, she was endorsing Joe Biden, but she did it with these like disgusting Walmart cookies, right? Back in 2020, as if, I mean, and by the way, is this some sort of thing like I should be in the kitchen making cookies for you? Is that what you're trying to tell us, Taylor Swift? Is that like your rightful place is to make cookies or something? It's a very weird thing.
She didn't make those.
I think it's reading a bit much into that.
Why, who does that? Well, it's very strange.
If you're going to put like complicated frosting designs on cookies, they always end up looking like kind of crappy.
Am I supposed to believe she actually made those?
I don't think so.
She didn't make that.
I think this whole thing is an odd.
I don't think a lot of people are asking that question.
She definitely
ordered them. She wanted to endorse Joe Biden, so she got Joe Biden cookies. I don't think it matters whether she made them or not.
It's not cute. It's not interesting. I don't find anything she does to be interesting.
But that's the whole stuff.
She's an op. She's a created op of the Mockingbird media.
What I would say is we talk about her all the time, so we clearly do find her interesting in some capacity.
No, it's forced on us. That's not true. I would never talk about her if this wasn't force-fed by the masters of the universe. Time Magazine.
Okay. And force-fed
Travis Kelce. Oh, yeah. Hold on. You cannot watch an NFL game. Travis Kelce for State Farm. Travis Kelce for Pfizer. Travis Kelce for some random car insurance thing. It's like, what company doesn't have Travis Kelce? I mean, I'm trying to watch a dang football game, and it's Travis Kelce for Uber Eats and Travis Kelce for Subway and, oh, by the way, Travis Kelce from Ma'ato and Travis Kelce for, I'm telling you, that doesn't happen by mistake. I'm supposed to believe that all this prescriptive
You're getting this backwards. It's that Taylor Swift is fanatically insanely popular, so she will be shoved into things. It is not that
Taylor Swift
everywhere. So Taylor Swift needs Travis Kelce? No. The whole thing is a fake op. I'm convinced.
I don't know what if all the whether the relationship is fake Swift. Or not. What I'm saying is I don't think Taylor Swift, they like found Taylor Swift in a lab and said, we're going to make Taylor Swift popular so that she can then push Democrats.
But it's the same way that Dua Lipa girl.
I am kind of.
And it's the same thing with Jennifer Lawrence. And they find people that they can use for cultural type influence. And Taylor Swift is perfect. She's a liberal, but she doesn't overplay it in recent years. She's the most popular. Yeah. No one doubts that she's popular. Of course,
she's normal.
Of course she's popular. And she's that demo that they want to dominate, which is upper middle class white girl, suburban America. That's their pathway to world domination. And she controls that demo. Of course we acknowledge she controls it. I mean, we don't, you know, live on Neptune. But this whole Travis Kelce thing is so staged, right, Jack? I mean, you watch an NFL football game. I remember Erica walks in. She says, what commercial is he not in? I'm telling you, he's on like Experian. He does the vaccine. I kid you not. I saw one NFL game and it was three in a row. Right?
I got the list here.
You got the list.
I got the list.
This guy's not that good. He's good, but he's not that good.
You're not right.
No, he's not that good.
You're not
pretty good.
He's not that good.
He's not that good.
He is probably the second most notable player on a team that has won like two Super Bowls in the last.
First of all, without Patrick Mahomes, he would be a very average tight end. Very average.
He has Patrick Mahomes.
He's not Gronkowski. He's maybe the
Gronk
talent.
Was in a million ads too, and he had Tom Brady.
Hold on. First of all,
Gronkowski is
objectively funnier and more interesting than Travis. Travis Kelce's a goon. Okay, how many commercials do you have of him?
You ready for the list?
And by the way, George Kittle is way better. Who plays for the 49ers.
Accelerator, Active Energy, Lowe's, Campbell's Chunky
Soup. This is not normal.
Bud Light, of course. Nike, of course. Pfizer, of course. DirecTV, Tide, Old Spice, T-Mobile, Sleep Number, Hy-Vee, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Okay, counterpoint. Travis Kelce has had seven straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons.
Okay, I'm not saying he's bad. Does it warrant this kind of cultural magnetism? And
yes.
By the way, it does. Okay, so you go from...
Nah, just come on. Like He is, like I said, the second most high-profile player on the best NFL team.
Because they created it. You're trying to tell me that Travis Kelce is more high-profile than Aaron Rodgers?
Probably not, but Aaron Rodgers is also in a million ads.
Hold on a second. He also signed with CAA, which is like the Death Star.
Also, Aaron Rodgers, run by Aaron Rodgers would Emanuel. Be in more ads, except Aaron Rodgers is weird. And
Aaron Rodgers
goes into the
Farm,
woods to do his vision quest.
I can name five NFL players with more name ID than Travis Kelce, but they created it. Travis Kelce, here's what I'm getting at, and I know Blakey hates it when we go this deep, because it's not a conspiracy. It's totally a conspiracy. Travis Kelce is an op. He's an average football player who happens to have one of the greatest NFL quarterbacks ever. And then you have Taylor Swift, who's also an op, who sells out audit. And I'm supposed to believe that, a love story. I just happened to stumble into Mr. Pfizer, Mr. State Farm, just in time for the 2024 election. I don't believe it.
Mr. Pfizer.
Just in time. The Pfizer
think
this
thing is
an op for the 2024
of course
election?
It's 100%.
Let's bring
it's
this
100% of 2024 get out the vote operation okay. to go through middle America, to press the MAGA
all
vote,
right.
try to win single women, all under a Pfizer's pharmaceutical regime so that we live in a dystopian hellscape. Jack,
all right. All right, Charlie.
Yeah, but here's the point, though. Maybe because he did the Pfizer commercial,
I'm laughing at
that's
myself,
what either. Actually opened up him to dating Taylor Swift. So Taylor Swift is like, I'm only going to date people who show up in Pfizer commercials.
But Travis,
and so he was limited to. She was limited to.
First of all, Travis has been accused of being a man whore by a lot of other women. So,
so that would make him more attractive to other women.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, but he's
more
vaxxed.
Attractive to Taylor.
He's vaxxed.
A lot of women.
Well, I know that's
he's quadruple vaccinated.
Yeah,
so.
Not a pure blood. Jack, do you agree this is all an op?
It's so fake. It's so fake. This is the fakest relationship since Harry and Meghan. It's like you see the two of them together. There's no chemistry. There's they actually have negative chemistry, negative riz when you see the two of them together. You're like, what is this? I've seen faker relationships, you know, on like one of those broadcast dating shows than I've ever seen on one of this. This is ridiculous. This is so horrible. And what I'm telling you, it's like, oh, we're going to be two celebrities. We're just going to rule the roost together. It's like they want to be the white Beyonce and Jay-Z, but at least Beyonce and Jay-Z actually do have chemistry together. When you see them together, you can tell they're in like a real relationship. These look like two people that are on benzodiazepam the entire time. And like they have that like fluoride smile that you see like, so good to see you. They do that weird, like they do that weird thing, right? I don't quite have a name for it yet, but it's very millennial, and it's sort of it's kind of like up talk, but it's like when you can tell that they're lying, even though because it's underspeak, so they're speaking under their breath. So good to see you. It's really great that you came. I'm glad that you're here.
Okay.
It's this really weird intonation, and it drives me completely nuts when people do it separately from vocal fry, which also drives me nuts, but for different reasons.
All right, let Blake.
I'm just wondering how much of this are you like? I haven't actually seen much footage of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift together because I don't.
That's why it's
follow not. This.
But I'm supposed to. Believe.
I'm mystified I'm a little worried.
Blake doesn't live
Jack
in the world,
watching
folks.
All these
Blake,
videos.
Blake just.
Is Jack
out like under a bench?
I'm supposed
to
believe he just organically out of love flew down to South America to be with Taylor Swift. No, it's an op. Somebody called
him. Didn't he just publicly ask her out, essentially?
The whole thing is very strange. He goes to the concert. He wishes that. I'm telling you, somebody at CAA, somebody at the Creative Arts Agency said, oh, I see it. Middle America MAGA country that likes their football, their beer, and they have this, you know, childless dink, and we're going to put them together. And Creative Arts Agency, which, by the way, is like the Death Star. And we're going to combine it. And it's going to be good for business, good for Pfizer, good for all these things. I want to play this. Here is Taylor Swift, very upset about – oh, by the way, Eva Vladendingerbrook is going after Taylor Swift. Good for her. Play cut 87.
Swift comes out against Trump.
I don't care if they write that. I'm sad that I didn't 2 years ago, but I can't change that. I'm saying right now that this is something that I know is right. And you guys, I need to be on the right side of history. And if he doesn't win, then at least I tried.
Here's the problem.
I just want to read you what I wrote. And I'm going to try to start. I just really want you to know that this is important to me.
I totally agree with the issue.
Have you heard
her? Yes, I've read the entire thing. And the bottom line right now, I'm terrified. I'm the guy that went out and bought armored cars.
I worry for her safety as much as anybody does. Maybe more. It really is a big deal. She votes against fair pay for women. She votes against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, which is just basically protecting us from domestic abuse and stalking. She votes. She thinks that if you're a gay couple, or even if you look like a gay couple, you should be allowed to be kicked out of a restaurant. It's really basic human rights, and it's right and wrong at this point. And I can't see another commercial and see her disguising these policies behind the words Tennessee Christian values. Those aren't Tennessee Christian values. I live in Tennessee. I am Christian. That's not what we stand for. I need to do this. I need you to just, Dad, I need you to forgive me for doing it because I'm doing it.
That's not what we stand for. It's like you could see the cue cards next to the camera as she's reading off of this. That's honestly some of the worst acting I've ever seen. I have no idea. You know, if CAA is going to sign her for anything, you'd think they'd send her to like a couple of acting lessons first before they sign her up for something like this. It's ridiculous. I can understand why Hollywood doesn't want to work with her. She doesn't actually know how to read lines. But we used to have this I had this theory called Yellowstoning that I talked about, you know, for a while. This idea that, you know, they would take somebody like a Kevin Costner, like a show like Yellowstone, and then use that person and their, you know, their stature, their weight, their influence with a certain audience to mobilize them towards progressive ideals. So they started slipping like these progressive ideas, woke characters into the show Yellowstone. And of course, using Kevin Costner. Then they also used Harrison Ford for this in one of like the spinoffs there. You're starting to see, they did a Sylvester Stallone one. So this is kind of like a similar psyop that's being run, you know, Charlie, to your point, it's on middle America. And so they're taking people who I would say have the aesthetics that would appeal to middle America, but then shifting them, nudging them into a, you know, into these liberal beliefs. And that's what you see. Obviously, Taylor's very poorly doing so because she's beating you over a hammer with it in that scene there. But again, it's this is the exact same type of playbook that they've gone to again and again and again. But because they have social media now, they have the ability to create their own marketing empire through it.
I just can't get over that. It's Time's Person of the Year. They've given it to Hitler. They've given it to Stalin. They've given it to Putin. They've given it to every U.S. president that I can think of
Trump.
Since it started.
They've given it to
Trump. Yeah, Trump. I mean, you know, it's not morally the best person. It is like the most important person of the year who captures the themes of the year. And you pick Taylor Swift because she's a big celebrity. Okay, like even if her concert is the biggest concert tour ever, even if she's the most successful singer entertainer ever, even if she is forging new frontiers in that, is that the biggest theme of 2023?
But then they say, well, who would you have chosen? I think Elon. It's not even close.
I think you've got to pick. I think you'd either pick ChatGPT. You know, half the time they do like a entity of the year.
No, yeah. I think AI would have been interesting.
I think you could do AI. You either do ChatGPT or Sam Altman if you need a person. But you pick AI.
No, AI would have been legit. Like, because that AI is changing our world.
But, yeah.
So, by the way, Elon, hello. Look at what, I mean.
I think Elon would have gotten it if he hadn't gotten it 2 years ago.
Elon did
so
fund
OpenAI,
though.
You can get it more than once.
Yeah, you
he's
can.
He's even bigger now
can,
than he was 2 years ago.
They haven't. I don't think they've done a rerun other than
Taylor Swift had it in 17.
In ages.
No. Taylor Swift in 2017, they gave it to like all the women of Me Too, and Taylor Swift was one of them.
She's a
so
man.
She
I guess
was like
in
the co-woman of the year.
And in 2006, they gave it to everyone. So I guess she had it three times then.
Did they really?
Yeah. They said you were the person of the year because YouTube took off in 2006.
Yeah, no, AI would have been interesting. That would have been actually legit.
If not AI, I think you could also say like Jack Smith or the prosecutor. No. No, think about it. Like the big theme of this election is this is the year where they're using every extrajudicial. You could deserve it next year if they successfully.
I'm saying you're throwing it too far ahead. Yeah, it has to be a little bit of what the year was defined as.
Mm-hmm.
Who but Elon has defined this year, right? We could debate it, but. Last year was Zelensky,
mm-hmm.
right? That's why we're wearing our Zelensky shirts, right, Jack? And
so I put mine on this morning.
And by again, I just want to be Andrew. By the way, I think I've converted Andrew. The best evidence that this is an op is Travis Kelce signed with CAA in May. Jack, can you tell our audience what CAA is? It's run by Ezekiel Emanuel, right? Or Ari Emanuel, one of those Emanuel brothers. There's Rahm Emanuel, Ezekiel Emanuel, and Ari Emanuel. They're like they're the Death Star. And see, I think it's Ari Emanuel, if I'm not mistaken. By the way, CAA has this huge headquarters in LA. It's very creepy in Century City, and they represent all the A-list celebrities. All the A-list celebrities. In fact, Jordan Peterson was once represented by them. They dropped him. And makes you think. You can go to CAA.com.
Yeah, the main knock on CAA is that they were basically and essentially Harvey Weinstein's talent agency. And so this was the one that took Weinstein and made him sort of this household figure that put him behind. And it is Ari Emanuel, and went through, all of his films, and then all of the actresses that he worked with by and large were okay. Not every single actress or actor that he worked with was through CAA, but this was his preferred agency, and everybody sort of knew this. Basically that, if you made a negative comment about Harvey Weinstein, they're also kind of Harvey Weinstein's enforcement arm when he was basically the sheriff of Hollywood, where if you made a negative comment publicly or privately about Harvey or about anyone who was part of CAA, you were done. They just blacklisted you. You were completely out. If you did anything on, and this is prior to the Me Too movement. And so it's interesting, by the way, that CAA comes up again, because as we said before, so there's this confluence between Harvey Weinstein, CAA, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. So all of a sudden, who's in the driver's seat again? It's still Hollywood. They got rid of Harvey, but that doesn't mean that they got rid of the system that put Harvey in place. Now there's just a new person who's the boss of the entire system. And yeah, this is the major one. When you're talking about your A-list celebs, the people who basically, when you read all those magazines, those tabloid magazines about celebrity relationships, and this couple was seen here on the yacht, and this thing went on, that's all part of what the agents are putting together, what they want to put out. And yes, there's lots of, really scummy agencies out there. There's independent agents out there. Of course, everybody's heard these terrible stories, the casting couch, et cetera, et cetera. But CAA is the big dog, the top of the heap for every single one of them.
I guess I could see if anyone's going to have all of her personal relationships be an op, I guess it could be Taylor Swift. She's a mastermind of publicity, which the fact that we've talked about her endlessly for the past 6 months is proof enough of that. But I don't know. I think it's deranged when it's like, okay, so these, we're going to go sign Travis Kelce to a new agency because we're anticipating that Trump will be the nominee next year. And then we need to have Taylor Swift be really popular so that she can tell people to not vote for Donald Trump, who, by the way, we're also going to knock off the ballot through all these other mechanisms. It's just, I think we are overestimating the ability for things to be centrally planned by anybody, to be honest. I think if you want to say her relationship's fake, I could buy that. Celebrities have fake relationships all the time. But the point is she just shouldn't be person of the year, because that's weird and strange and deranged. But we have another topic. But first, Jack, do you want to do our read?
So, folks, what if I told you that the most notable diaper brands out there support abortion? Now, obviously, as a father of two boys, abortion is not something that I support, and I don't want to be supporting that through the diaper purchases that I make. So if you are a parent that is sickened by woke corporations supporting the destruction of American values and our most precious blessing, our children, then meet Every Life. This is America's pro-life diaper brand. Finally, a baby brand that aligns with our values and is unapologetically pro-life. Every Life believes that no matter where someone is from, what they look like, planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle worth protecting and defending. Every Life offers high-performing premium diapers, wipes, created with your little ones in mind. Their diapers are made without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. Go to everylife.com for diaper and wipes bundles delivered right to your doorstep, and feel good knowing that every purchase changes lives through the support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is Every Life. That's right. Every Life is changing every life. So go to everylife.com. Everylife.com. Use promo code Charlie for 10% of your order today. That's Charlie, promo code Charlie at everylife.com, 10% off your order. And just like with a lot of our advertisers, look, it's Christmas. It's a great gift to give somebody that delivers the entire year round. Huge. If you've got somebody out there that's got toddlers, got kids, we've got a three-year-old and a five-year-old, so we're still in the diaper world. Go ahead and use that. Obviously, a five-year-old, he's mostly out of diapers, I'll put it that way. But every once in a while, it's nice to have some around.
Do your parents do that? Do you give diapers to people for a Christmas gift?
Well, really more if it's like a baby shower kind of thing, I would say.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense, yeah. I'm imagining like you run down, it's like a Christmas story, and instead of the Little Red Rider BB gun, he opens it, and there's just a bunch of diapers in it.
No, honestly, though, like parents to, you know, maybe like grandparents to parents, that kind of thing.
All right. All right. All right. Speaking of children, speaking of Christmas, speaking of
I'll put it this way. When we had our kids, we got a lot of diapers from people because diapers are actually quite expensive.
I believe it. But, you know, people who are not going to have diapers is topic number two. We have to have a conversation about the dink question.
Wait, can I just say that Blake, that was a fantastic transition.
I do my best. I'm learning. And so that was a good one. The dink question, dinks. It's the dinks. Dual income, no kids. They've existed forever, but now they're going viral because we have the national affliction known as TikTok. And they are making TikToks about it. So we have to show some of those TikToks. I believe the first one we have here is number 79. So let's get the conversation going with that.
Why is nobody talking about being dinks? Well, I'm freshly married and I'm going to talk about it. Here's our life as dinks in our early 30s. No shocker here, folks. Today we went to Costco. We don't have kids to feed, but we got lots of money to spend on goodies. Brian always checks out while I get a box and then I sit here and look cute. Here's the haul, and our total was $252. The register game at Costco never gets old. You cannot tell me that grocery shopping and a fresh slice of Costco pizza isn't a good date night. I mean, you can tell me that, but I don't believe it. Obviously, we had car cookies for dessert, and yeah, I will probably just make this a series now, so follow along for more ding content.
That woman doesn't have a good diet. But before we get into the conversation, we have, this is, again, way too many people are making these, so we also have number 80. Let's play that.
We're dinks. We go to Trader Joe's and workout classes on the weekends.
We're dinks. We get into snobby hobbies like skiing and golfing.
We're dinks. We can go to Florida on a whim.
We're dinks. We're already planning our European vacation next year.
Dinks. We get a full 8 hours of sleep and sometimes more.
We're dinks. We get desserts and appetizers at restaurants.
We're dinks. We can play with other kids and give them back.
We're dinks. We still do it 3 times a week.
We're dinks. We spend our discretionary income on $8 lattes.
We're dinks. We max out our 401ks, Roth IRAs, and HSAs.
We're dinks. We don't use our kids or dog as an excuse to leave a party. We just leave.
I mean, 3 times a week? That's actually not really that. Yeah. I'm just gonna throw this out there. You can have kids and still have sex. I'm just gonna throw it out there, folks. In fact, that's how you get the kids in the first place.
Allegedly.
Well, I mean,
yes.
At least it's the half step where they're promoting at least their relationship. So
yeah,
at least we get celebrate that there's,
and you know, a barrier. You know, 3 times a week, there's like a decent odds they'll screw up at some point. But
yeah, I think the craziest thing that I've noticed since, you know, being a millennial, and Jack, we're kind of in that same like age category. We're just right there, which is like all our friends. There's a lot of people who have literally positioned themselves for, I think the problem is they position themselves for over a decade that they're just not going to have kids no matter what. And so now like the natural progression is that people are getting married now later on. And that's fine. Like, again, I'm not being judgy on like who has kids, who doesn't, when they get married, who, whatever. Like, I think earlier the better, great, whatever. But they're getting married later on in life. And so now this is like the half step before they have kids. And my only fear is that by the time they realize they actually want to have kids, it'll be too late because they just like drug out their life for way too long.
And so this ties into the Taylor Swift thing, because this has been a knock on Taylor Swift for years at this point. There used to be this whole meme, you know, this could all kind of be like a sort of deep web reveal. Blake, do you remember this one? The empty egg carton meme?
Far too well. Last egg. Circling
yeah.
The
so
drain.
This. Exactly. So this was the idea that, and there was a certain YouTuber, former YouTuber, I guess, who got in trouble for, it was Stefan Molyneux, and who posted, just basically went on a tirade on Twitter and was like, look, you know, Taylor Swift is in her prime years for child rearing, and she's spending all of this time going around, focused on her career, talks about wanting a family, talks about wanting a relationship. Every single song is about having a relationship. And yet there's no actual time that she invests into it. She just invests all her time into her career and essentially herself. And so the empty egg cart, this is like years ago. This is like 5 or 6 years ago that this was going on. So even then, I guess she would have been her like kind of mid-20s. What's she like? She's like, how old is she, guys? She's like 31.
33, I think, or maybe 34.
She was born in
83. She's
33? 89. Right. So she'll be 34. Wow.
She is 34, I think.
Okay.
I think she's maybe already 34, right?
She's 34 next week. Look at that.
Happy birthday. Well, like to that point though, like I think the horrifying thing is, and again, that's the important piece that you just hit on, which is that it's not whether or not you are married. It's not whether or not you have kids. It's about the desire and putting yourself in the right place to do those things. Because there's, I think the world that we live in today with social media and everything else is like, it's actually more challenging, I think, arguably, than it ever has been to have a normal relationship. It's more challenging than it's ever been to have, there's no privacy to like raise your kids the same way. There just is. You can make the argument, you could go live in a hole somewhere, but like if you're not on normal social media and things like that, you're a weirdo in the eyes of like regular suburban America. So like you have to be in the spotlight in some way, shape, or form, more than what the normal human being in the 80s or 90s was comfortable with. And so now you have this issue of, I think that this is that people are skittish. It's like stage fright. There's stage fright to that. And I don't blame men for having stage fright to that. Most of my friends, like I talk to, and I'm not even like, it's like Jack or Charlie here, but like you and I have similar things where people kind of become aware of you through different things. People are like, I want nothing to do with that because I wouldn't be down with the introspection into my life from like the general public. I wouldn't like that. And I think there's an element of that just with social media in general, where guys feel like that, women feel like that. And so they act differently. And so it adds stage fright. So it delays, that's adding to the delaying factor. And now you've gotten to your mind that you've adopted that, like, hey, I'm not going to have kids for 10 years. I'm not going to have kids for 20 years. And then you finally do have a relationship and you're like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to get married for 10 years. I'm not going to get married for so X amount of years. And then you finally get in a relationship and then that's like the justification that like that dink video, that video that you guys just posted, to me, it just like screams like justifying the reason why they're not having kids rather than putting yourself in the position like Jack is saying that like you want to have kids, like you want to try to get kids. Because the sad part is on the other side of the coin to that, there's so many people in this world that want to have kids that either can't get in a fortuitous relationship. They can't have kids physically for whatever reason because of health issues or whatever. And like that to me is sad.
And going into that, these people might want kids later eventually. But for a society obsessed with misinformation and disinformation, one of the biggest sources of misinformation out there is actually just about basic fertility.
Yeah.
It's really harder. It's a lot harder to have your first kid if you start trying only after 30.
Totally.
It's even... Things that aren't well known. If you have already had a kid, it's way easier to have a second kid, even if it's later. So if you're having your fourth kid at 35, way easier than if you're having your first kid at 35. Your body detects these things. It sort of detects, this person, it's not taking. It's not going to happen. And, you know, it shifts, I don't know, you want to say resources elsewhere and makes it way harder. And so that's why you have all these people who... You know, they wait for the perfect moment, and then at the perfect moment, it turns out you have to spend $70,000 on fertility treatments.
Or they're just sad the rest of their life.
Or they're sad. And it's really sad. I had some friends who did thankfully have a kid, but they had issues for a long time. And so they fell down the rabbit hole that is the infertility community on the internet, because everything has a community these days.
Yep.
And it is really bad. It is very clear for a lot of people that not having kids, not being able to have kids, ruins their lives.
Yep.
It ruins their relationship with their parents. It ruins their relationship with their spouse. Even if it's not because of a choice, even if it's only due to a biological thing, it just totally destroys people. I guess the other interesting flip side of it is we are living through the first era where really not having kids is a choice you can just easily make.
Yeah.
You know? So you'd only have reliable birth control from about the 60s on. And I think you have a hangover of a few decades where it's still so abnormal to not have kids if you marry that it's still just everyone does it.
Well, that's the interesting part. It's like we're in the era, again, and people equate this all the time. We were talking a little bit about this with Rome and everything else. Is we're in the era of lifestyle choices, right? Where lifestyle choices are so simple and so easy because we live in such a society that lifestyle choices are easy. And these are problems that are created, that are generated because society is so
simple.
And it's interesting because, you know, the forces of natural selection being what they are, we are now going through a selection process of the only people having kids are the ones who choose to have kids and like having kids. So it's kind of good news. I guess in 50 years, being a parent will be better because everyone will have selected for
how's that
I love having kids.
How's that worked out in Europe, though?
Well, you know, it's interesting thing about it. Not even just Europe. South Korea, right. Their fertility rate is down to 0.7. So the average woman will have 0.7 kids. That means in two generations, 100 people gets down to about 12 people.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting if that pattern holds a long time, because your population is going to get massively shifted by what are the choices and life patterns of people who actually decide to show up for the future. And so, that's who the future goes to. Who shows up for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is a huge thing, but also when you really think about it, you know, the type of demographic that, you know, going back to the Taylor Swift setup, you know, it's, and I'm just going to say it since we're here on Thought Crime, you guys played all those videos. We talked about Taylor Swift being a huge part of this. That was my contention earlier this week on Twitter. I took a lot of crap for it, but I said, you know, prove me wrong that Taylor Swift is not promoting a double income, no kids lifestyle, even though she's not married. And they said, and the Swifties were like coming at me claiming, oh, it's not her fault. It's, you know, the fault of all these men and all this. Yeah. Okay. All right. I got it. And so I guess the big thing that I would take away is, and Blake, to your point as well, like, have you noticed that all of the viral videos on the Dink thing, they're all white?
Yes.
You notice yes. that I haven't seen any of these promoted, or at least, you know, I'm sure there are Dinks that are not, but the ones that seem to be getting promoted the most algorithmically are white. Funny how that works.
Well, bluntly, I think they are the ones who often choose this.
Like, I mean, the gay community look at the is all dinks, right?
Yeah, the gay community is all dinks. They're very white.
That's not true. That is not true. There is a lot of gay adoption.
There's a decent amount.
Not statistically.
And yeah. like, you know, and for like
statistically,
childless,
it's like, okay, it's like tiny.
And like, and just in terms of deliberate childlessness, it does frankly seem to be a very, you know, upper class white people phenomenon. Asians too, I suppose, but upper class Asians are just sort of considered white by
well
America.
so the first time I ever heard of this was in China, like 10-15 years ago. The first time I ever heard of Dink, this was all the rage in China when I lived there. Yeah. That they were saying, oh yeah, double income, no kids. This was the thing, double income, no kids. And then they were even, and keep in mind, China obviously is a country that at the time was promoting population degrowth, or depopulation agenda, I guess. So the one child policy. And then even in China, the idea too was for tax purposes and for career and income, they were so hyper focused on this. So like there's this sort of, you know, kind of old school conservative belief that China is like this hyper Marxist society. But no, it's actually kind of the opposite. Like they are intensely career focused and intensely competitive in terms of career and ranking and income in China. You know, they're almost more hyper capitalist than we are in certain ways. Certainly not, you know, democratically, and you know, they don't have any of that going on. But in terms of economy, yeah, they really are. And so they had this total normalization of people being married and then living in countries or cities all over the country. So you wouldn't even see your wife or your spouse unless you were basically going home for Golden Week, which is like their holidays. So like you'd see your wife on the holidays and then that was it. So there wouldn't even be an opportunity to have kids. And so they would even take it to the next step and say, okay, we're married. We are double income for tax purposes, but we don't even have like a real normal relationship in any meaningful way because it's all long distance. Well, and this was promoted in China.
I think it's really interesting. It just reminded me of this is that Stalin, since we invoke Stalin's name here, Stalin actually taxed people for not having kids. So they instituted...
I think you could justify that. And I think it'll be interesting. If we start seeing serious population decline, we're all kind of wusses about it. Like all these Western countries, we do a child tax credit and it's worth a few thousand dollars a year. But yeah, what if you just literally had like a single tax?
Well, I mean, but this is the point. Like Marxists, true Marxists don't want you to be career driven, right? True Marxists that want to control, you know, everything that... you have to have bodies. You have to have people. You want families, you want growth, you want them to be busy, not wanting to do extra stuff. Like, I mean, you heard in that Dink thing, it's like they're like, we can travel, we can do whatever we want. Like, that's not what the communists want. Commies want you to be busy, and so you work all day, and then you come home, and you have to take care of your kids too. And that's part of, I think that's part of, like, there's like two sides to it. So there's no evading, you know, reproduction. Like, in the grand scheme of like the world, there's no evading children. Like, there's just not. You're not going to get away from it. You're going to be forced into it. Society's going to force you into it. The question is, like, how does society raise children? And, you know, I think, and this goes back to, again, the traditional way, is like single income, you know, dual roles rather than dual income, single roles, is a much better way. And we now are living in a society where it's dual income, single role rather than single income, dual roles within a household. Because this is ultimately, it ultimately breaks up families. Because again, when you live your own life, you have your own separation. I mean, this is kind of the conversation I think Tucker talks about all the time, or he used to talk about quite a bit. But,
you know, going back to the start.
Well, Tyler.
You go, Jack.
I wanted to follow up on a little bit what Tyler said there, because Tyler, this is something that does play politically for, you know, the new right. This is a huge new right piece of the agenda. And I wonder, and you and I obviously have talked about this many times, but if you want to give people an encapsulation, you know, you've talked about it before, about how there's a huge opportunity here politically, you know, to focus on these millennials who want to go back to the single income household and then have a family that can be raised on a single household, and then creating the economic conditions to make this possible. J.D. Vance talks about this and others. You know, what do you see as a potential political win for, if conservatives were to start adopting this language?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the future of what we're going to see is that, I mean, I don't think there's any turning the ship around. I think the attack on gender identity is the satanic explicitness on an attack on the family, and specifically wanting to promote more childlessness. I think that's ultimately where you're at. Because if you talk about this, we talk, and I was kind of just joking, but the greatest dink culture that exists within America is in the gay community, right? Like, there's just not, that is the culture. And in fact, everybody has a gay friend. And every man has a wife.
A lot of us on the show have gay enemies too.
Gay enemies, okay. We all have gay enemies too. We all have lots of gay friends. We have gay friends. Our wives certainly have gay friends, and they look at their gay friends. And I've seen this. And actually, I mean,
Blake's a friend.
I have an example of this.
Gonna kill you, Jack.
I have an example of this.
The FBI won't investigate.
I have a friend. This is a crazy story. I won't get into the details, but I have a friend who was married, newly married, and they were in a gay neighborhood in a big city.
A gayborhood?
They're not gay. They're a man and woman, married.
Sure. All right.
And
I'm sure he tells her that a lot.
And they were thinking about having kids, right? And they were thinking about that. But the wife, like, had all these gay friends and loved the dink culture that was within the gay community. Not the gay culture. The dink culture, which was like they could go out and do whatever they wanted to do all the time.
They could brunch every week.
And her values changed overnight by who she hung out with, because she was in that culture of like, I can brunch whenever I want. I can mimosa every day. Like, why would I want to have kids? Like, I'm going to keep delaying. Ultimately, like, she adopted into that culture, and they divorced very quickly, very rapidly. But I mean, wow. I think it's like a
that's
real thing.
Sad. So because he should have been person of the year, as Charlie says, or at least second place, every time Elon Musk has an opinion, it becomes a story. So Elon Musk reacted to this stuff earlier today. If you guys want to bring it up on screen, Elon Musk hits out at viral videos of dink couples, saying there is an awful morality to those who choose not to have children. And I was arguing about this with Charlie earlier, because there's a few levels to this. Like, one, Elon Musk himself is like a step warlord, where he's got 10 kids officially with, I think, 4 different women. And
that we know of.
And I've heard rumors he might have
like 40.
Because there are, and you know the Amber Heard one, right?
I'm not familiar with that specific one.
She has never publicly revealed the father of her daughter, and we know that Elon and her, now she claims it was just a sperm donor. However, people know that she was with Elon briefly. Everybody knows that she was with Johnny Depp, of course, mm-hmm. very public. But briefly after that relationship, she spent some time with Elon Musk when they were together. Then a couple months after that relationship, she just kind of shows up with this daughter and says, "Oh,
and
I
even heard
now.
Rumors to that effect, like the sperm donor thing. I've heard rumors that Musk just straight up will just be a donor for people. He is just a progeny maximizer. He is not. It's not the carnal aspect that is most important here."
Yeah, this is very, obviously we know that he is someone who's very supportive of surrogacy. He's done this. He had twins, right? With one of the executives at Neuralink recently. We know that I believe at least one, if not both, of the children that he had with Grimes were via surrogacy. And so, this is clearly something. And then I believe his first wife that he's five boys or five children with, I forget if they're all boys or not, that was IVF. So he's, we were talking about the infertility community, but, just in the fertility, I guess the vast spectrum of fertility procedures out there, Elon is certainly a huge, huge proponent.
Yeah, think about it though. If you're a genius and you have limitless amounts of money, like you would just
it's interesting. More don't do this.
You would just like it's like parents of athletes, that are like that want to have as many kids are pro athletes that want to have as many kids as they possibly can to make sure one of their kids becomes a pro athlete. Have you heard about this? Like, there's a lot of
when I was growing up, my aunt and uncle
used to have a horse farm in Pennsylvania, and so whenever you had one of your champion horses, you would turn it into a stud after it was done its racing, and so you would basically sell the sperm to the other breeders out there, hoping that you would get a champion. I mean, this was huge money.
But can I say something that's a little bit thought crimey? This is like what pro athletes do. So there's an argument that like pro athletes hook up with all these girls and have all these kids because there's an element here where it's like, oh, it's worth your money because the more kids you have, the more likely that you'll end up with another pro athlete that comes out of your DNA bank. Like, this is the same thing. Like, if I'm Elon Musk, of course, like, just give everybody my sperm. Anyone that wants to take it, there's like a thousand future Elons. If you think you're a genius and that you're going to inject all these genius DNA pools back out into the world.
This could get really insane once, like, we could have just straight, what if we have an artificial womb? You don't even need another woman at this point.
He probably does.
What if we get to that point where you can just have an artificial womb? You could just have a rich guy, even if he just wants it with one woman, he could just have 100 kids, 200 kids.
This is what James Younger was saying.
Yeah. We can get some wild stuff.
Do you remember? Was that his name, James Younger? Yeah, James Younger was got into it with Libby Emmons over this recently because he was saying that. And keep in mind, James, this is a guy who obviously went through a lot. He went through that. This was the guy who had the divorce down in Texas, and then she moved with the kid to California, and they were going to try to do some kind of hormone therapy, transgender sort of thing with the kid. I'm probably botching the details, but anyway, it got to the point where he was so upset about everything that he went through that he and Libby Emmons got on Timcast together, and he said, look, men shouldn't even, now that we have surrogacy, why are men even pursuing relationships with women at all? You should just go ahead and use surrogacy, have kids, bring them in, and cut the woman out completely. Which I personally disagree with. On a variety of reasons.
Are we talking about IVF?
We're talking about the dick.
Well, actually, it's funny enough, Charlie, it's spiraled because
sorry, I had to handle something.
So we were talking about how Elon has, so we started with Ding, and then we got to Elon, who's like the opposite of that.
We didn't use that term.
We didn't use the term harems because it's not just harems. It's that he's like
concubines.
He's like all of the above in terms of IVF, surrogacy, etc.
I'll be honest. I think.
But
Elon,
I was just going to say,
go ahead.
The point I was going to throw out though is like this is something that Plato kind of talks about in the Republic, where he says that marriage, for the highest caste, the guardian class. You know, there's only, you know, your spouse will only be for like the duration of the sexual intercourse. There will be a ceremony. The best women will be chosen for the best men. And it, you know, it seems like Elon trying to actually put that.
Elon is trending. And if I ever meet him, I'll tell him this. He's trending for the story of Solomon, who has everything and he ends up totally insane. And he also, I mean, one of the most powerful books of the whole Bible is Ecclesiastes, where he basically opens like a punk rocker, where the first verse of Ecclesiastes is meaningless, 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 oh, his life. And Solomon's splendor was so great that Christ our Lord then repeats in the New Testament. He says, not even Solomon in all of his splendor would be clothed like you will in the next life. And I mean, Elon's like Solomon. Like, he's got like 90, like we know how many women has he had?
Didn't he have like 900 or something?
Solomon or Elon?
Oh, Elon.
I think Elon has like 140 children or something.
So he publicly has 10. There's rumors he has dozens.
No, I've heard at least roaming over 100. About. I've heard over 100.
I suspect the legend will grow with time until eventually every child. Now, look.
Let me be clear. If you're worth $250 billion, that there's worse things to spend money on than populating the species with geniuses. Okay, so, but it doesn't make your life fulfilled.
Doesn't Nick Cannon have like a dozen kids?
There's like a Russian billionaire who just used surrogates to have.
Yeah, but what athlete has the best kids in America?
What athlete?
Like didn't Magic Johnson
Lamar
have Odom? Like 100 kids?
Didn't
Magic Johnson had a lot of things.
I know, but that's how he ended up where he ended up. Because he had like
no.
He had I'm saying that, but he was just like everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. But he had lots of kids too.
Magic Johnson was
athlete with most kids in America.
I'm looking here. Calvin Murphy had 14 children with 9 women.
Who's Calvin Murphy?
I don't know. I just came up on this stupid, like, sounds like a wide
Mike Tyson has
sounds
seven
like a wide
children.
Receiver. No, but Solomon is a perfect example for where Elon is going.
Keep in mind, Philip Rivers, I think, is up to 11 or 12.
Is that right?
With one wife.
Oh, come on.
One woman.
Really?
Yes.
Nick Cannon has 12.
Philip Rivers is a legend.
So what? he didn't go to the Solomon.
He was a great. He was one of the most underrated NFL quarterbacks
yeah,
in history.
Yeah, and he's like a super Catholic. He married his middle school sweetheart in college, and they've just
Tiffany cool. Rivers. Wow. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, Drew Brees has 90 kids or something, right?
It's a lot.
Not as many as Philip Rivers. Kidding. Philip Rivers is the legend.
Evander Holyfield, 11 kids.
Ooh, wow, that's quite a few. Didn't George Foreman also like name all of his sons George Foreman?
Muhammad Ali had 9. But this isn't like a. There's athletes out there that probably have dozens of kids.
Yeah, Blake, it was like George Foreman this because he did junior and then the third and then the fourth. But they were all
has
his sons.
12 children, 5 sons and 7 daughters, and his 5 sons are George Jr., George the Third, George the Fourth, George the Fifth, and George the Sixth, nicknamed Monk. Big Wheel, Red, and Little Joey. And then
I love
the first one, of course, is Junior.
So good.
He says, I named all my sons George Edward Foreman so they would always have something in common.
The bigger question is how many, I mean, if you stack rank them with all the abortions involved, that would be a lot.
Oof. Making me sad, man. I don't want to think about that well.
But that's the dink culture. Dink culture is abortion culture.
They say the question is being a dink immoral? Yes, being a dink intentionally not having, avoiding having children, whether through adoption. I understand barren. I totally understand
barren. Totally.
Like that's a terrible thing. I wouldn't wish that.
Or even just having struggles getting a relationship. Like,
no, I totally
understand. People can't
that.
Get a relationship.
But that's what's so sick about the dink thing. You have a partner and you're saying no. I don't want to do the hard thing, the necessary thing. I think that's really sick. I really do.
Dink culture is abortion culture.
It is.
It is certainly decayed
value.
It's the same value system, which is that less children is more evil and it's more selfish. It's more self-serving. I mean, it's the opposite of why we're placed on this earth.
Somebody emailed our show, Charlie, you know, leave the dink people alone. No. They don't want to be left alone. That's why they're on social media. So don't give me that.
Yeah,
they go on social bragging about being a dink.
Go on TikTok, make your super TikTok,
and then leave me alone.
I want attention. Wait, why am I getting attention?
Oh, hold on a second. You guys went on social media talking about how great it is, and you don't like to defend yourself. And you're like, we're being doxxed. How are you being doxxed if you go on TikTok talking about going to Costco and it only costs $250? There's more to life than money. There's more to life than resources. Yeah. Having kids is the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever.
But more to the point, if you're going to say it's immoral, you can't just say it's great to have kids. You have to say, you know,
it is necessary to have kids. Well, it is your responsibility.
But look, some people have kids and it's very tough. They might have sicknesses. They might be errant and all that. But it is the moral obligation to continue the species. And by the way, if you can't do that, then adopt kids. Do something to continue the species. You have to steward the next generation. You have to.
Yeah, it's
there's no.
If you look at a picture,
the first video we showed.
If you look at a picture of like a family reunion, and you just see, there's always like sort of the patriarch and the matriarch, right? You know, there's always like the grandpa, the grandma, and usually the grandma's sitting at the center, and everyone can think of one of these photos. And then you just see the children that came from her, the grandchildren, and, you know, God willing, there's great grandchildren running around. And you look at all that life that came from one person. And nobody is sitting there going, looking at that grandmother saying, gee, I wonder what her career was. I wonder what her position was at the office. I want to know if she had a corner desk. No, she's surrounded by her accomplishments right there.
Hot off the presses.
So this is the total opposite of the dink culture or anything that Taylor Swift is promoting.
Hot off the presses, tweeted within the last 2 minutes, Cernovich on Twitter. I was going to make this point, but he just did it better than I would anyway. We're dinks. We're renting bicycles to travel through Africa during our vacation. Everyone would think that's cool. But being some fat snack eater with a pencil goatee, buying chips in bulk at Costco while watching games all weekend is gross. So that's part of it. Like, yeah, if you're going to do a dink and do something really cool, it's probably still bad. But it at least, you know, people would feel a little envious. But like, I'm a dink. I get to go to Costco and stuff my fat face with the Costco pizza.
Yeah, and by the way, nothing in any of these videos makes me envy it. Like, it just, it's sad. I watch these videos.
It looks too sad.
Right? It's just, it's sick. It really is. I think it's a mental
problem.
They're
like gay married.
I mean, and I, by the way, you know what's so sick about it? Is that the amount of emails I get of people with regret. I can't have kids. I wish I would. That I totally understand. I totally get that. Or I should have prioritized it earlier. This is an idea pathogen. I think it's a major cope. You know what it reminds me of? Shout your abortion. Dink culture is very similar to shouting your abortion. Very similar.
People, one of the bad things with social media is it's created a much larger platform for the already bad pattern of essentially very loudly justifying your decisions to the world. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you know, they're not having children. So what they need to do is they need to have ideological children by convincing other people to do the same things as them.
Yes.
Well, I mean, and this is the other thing that I think bothers me the most. I actually loathe when people post their personal information on, I think it's so embarrassing when people are like, go to social media and they talk about their personal relationships. I just hate that. I think, you know, post on social media, whatever. I think the name of the game should be post as little as you possibly can while still being like normally socially acceptable to society. I think that's the vector. That's just me. I hate when my friends and people that I know that I actually care or once upon a time cared about go and they talk about all their problems too much. They talk about their personal relationships. And to me, like, this is the same thing, whether it's good or bad. Like, it's always embarrassing when people are like, oh yeah, we're so happy, we're not having kids, and then like a month later they're broken up, and it's like, well, was that part of it? Was that? And then that starts messing with other people's heads too, maybe in a good way, maybe in a bad way. But like, I think a lot of people, they end up there again because they see on social media, they see their friends they never used to see. You never used to see your friends' internal personal relationships. They live down the street, you never talk to them. When's the last time you talked to your neighbor? When's the last time you talked to one of your friends from high school? You just don't. You didn't. Now on social media, you see all this stuff and you see your friend from high school. And he's like, oh, he didn't decide to have kids. You know, I had four, bang, 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 right out of high school. And in your head, you're miserable. Bam, leads to divorce. Bam, leads to finding a different relationship. Bam, leads to not rearing for your children the same way that you would have, not being aware of what other people were doing. I just think it's so unhealthy.
Okay. Yeah, Tyler, I think is exactly right on this. I think it's a huge driver in depression and suicide, especially teen suicide. So it used to be that, and Scott Adams talks about this in his podcast as well, that it used to be that you're sort of the pool of people that you compared yourself to was your town, was your hometown, was your workplace, was your school,
your sibling,
your site, your work site, whatever it was. Yeah, your family, your intermediate family, the people you interacted with on a regular basis. And that's how, for all of human civilization, we have essentially grown and developed. However, now through social media, you sort of are bombarded with this highlight reel. And people have said this, even Aaron Rodgers once said this, that social media is like the highlights reel of life. And it is in many ways. But at the same time, you're also constantly comparing yourself to other people that you see that are – so it leads to – and people talked about this. I think we talked about it here on the show once, where on dating apps now, it is so hard for if you're like a guy under, you know, I think OkCupid was one of the ones that put out these charts at one point, that it's so hard for guys below like a certain, I don't know, level to be able to like 1% of guys get like 80% of the girls on social on these dating apps. No, obviously I was on the 1%. No, I'm just kidding. But the idea being that you're constantly having to compete with a much wider pool in the same way that you're now competing with an almost universal global pool for all of these things, for family, for vacations, for kids, who's got the best pictures. It's a constant competition that's going on. Whether you realize it or not, you're doing so subliminally while you're going through Instagram, while you're going through TikTok. That's what's going on as you're looking through these images.
So we're talking about major, you know.
We got to go soon, but yeah.
Soon, but we have to talk about something really immoral and bad, and it's not Dinks.
Florida State?
No, it's the worst thing possible. They didn't let Florida State into the playoff. Is college football done here? And the answer, truthfully, is it was done here a long time ago, but you guys were in denial about it.
I love college football. The Ducks lost to Washington. Big disappointment. I was worried about it. My worries were confirmed. Washington is a better team. They play better. Who cares about who has more talent if you lose? But no, Florida State should be in the playoff. This is insane. This is absolutely insane.
Yeah, but they didn't put them in because college football is a gross, distorted, warped version of what it once was. And it's kind of, I emphasize this because it's actually a weird barrier to, I think, necessary, like actual things we need to do in America. Like, I think a real reason you won't get conservatives at the state level go and like maybe get rid of affirmative action at their colleges or you know, get rid of all the stuff is they're worried the NCAA will come in and be like, well, actually, because of you guys are hostile to this or that, you guys can't compete in the Preparation H Bowl brought to you by Tostitos next year and
brought to you by Travis Kelce.
Yeah. And like, this is a real thing. People are obsessed with college football and I get it. You like the team, but it's weird and creepy where we're still this addicted to what is essentially just a semi-pro football league where the players get paid and they can freely sign with a different team, and we'll call it a transfer. And we do all this, and we're still pretending that they're student athletes. Just no, just call a team the Alabama Crimson Tide and have them play in Tuscaloosa, and they're a semi-pro league that plays their players $250,000 a year.
That's effectively where we're at.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you about my Patriot Supply. Prepare with thoughtcrime.com. The unthinkable is happening. No more surprises. It's all out in the open. Our so-called trusted institutions tell you not to worry, but you know better. You won't allow yourself to be blindsided again. Join the folks investing in emergency food storage. You can trust My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company. Pick up their best-selling three-month emergency food kit with breakfast, lunch, dinners, and snacks that lasts up to 25 years. Go to preparewiththoughtcrime.com. That's preparewiththoughtcrime.com and save $200 on a three-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for power outages, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to preparewiththoughtcrime.com and prepare for the fallout and save $200 off a three-month emergency food kit. Preparewiththoughtcrime.com. All right, I got to head east, guys. This was great. That's preparewiththoughtcrime.com. God bless you all. See you guys soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.